And welcome to Golf Talk Live, the 19th hole edition, our first ever Tuesday night podcast. I am Alan Depew, co-host of Golf Talk Live. I am joined with Andrew. You've heard him on the show many times on our regular Saturday broadcast. As we mentioned, this is our first show to recap the weekend, look ahead to the coming week, and just talk everything golf. And where better to do that than in our 19th hole? I may have a beverage sitting here beside me. Andrew's got a beverage sitting beside him. Folks, enjoy the next few minutes. We will, as let's talk golf. Andrew, how we doing?
Well, you are correct. I do have a beverage after trying to figure out this audio for our first ever time doing it. So, That was interesting. Let's talk some golf. We got a lot of things happening this week. So I don't know quite where you want to start. I got a couple of notes here. I think the first and foremost one is got to be the Shriners Open, probably the biggest name tournament of the weekend, with Martin Laird winning in a playoff over Matthew Wolff and Austin Cook on the second playoff hole. They didn't even go. And he had to go some extra holes there, So what's your thoughts on that? With a couple of young guns, couple of now a veteran that's been not in the loop for a long time, but finally get her around and was able to get it done.
I'll tell you what really struck me about that is it was a really good field. First of all, going into
absolutely.
We talked about it on the show on Saturday morning where there were four or five guys tied at 14 under. Bryson sitting at 13. There was another six guys at 12. It set up for a great weekend. Lair, I tell you what, I saw one of the highlights. He hit one of the most remarkable golf shots I've seen. Did you see the one when the ball was plugged? Basically, it was plugged almost in the bunker face.
Oh, and yeah, that I would have been in there for at least probably about an hour with my sand game. So, yeah, that was impressive.
I didn't think – the question was, okay, I know he was going to get the ball out. And, look, in that situation, there's obviously a lot of talent, a lot of skill. To knock it in, though, I mean, come on, really?
Well, you didn't even mention – I mean, obviously that was a heck of a shot, but You didn't even mention it. I know you're a stat guy, so, and me being your son, you definitely bred me to be a stat guy. So did you see the stat that Laird, to the 17th hole of his final round, didn't have a putt longer than 17 feet, 11 inches? That's incredible. Yeah. That's absolutely amazing. And his second longest putt of his final round was the winner at 22 feet. I mean, that's what you call strict iron play to – tap in birdies and pars. I mean, absolutely amazing. Definitely wouldn't be able to do that by any means of the word, but that's why they're there, and we're here on the 19th hole.
Yeah, but we're enjoying a beverage. And
exactly.
and you know what? But let's talk about the other thing coming out of that tournament. We're going to talk a little bit more in depth about this. But let's talk about Bryson, and let's talk about hitting bombs. 368 yards to 15 feet.
Okay. 14 feet and a few inches. Yeah, it was almost 15 feet. The one that was even more impressive, it puts you into a little bit more perspective, was his 300-yard driving iron that went over almost the back of the green. Yeah, that's kind of long. I was doing the math in my head. That's about 80 yards longer than what I can hit it. And I like to think of myself as actually being able to hit the ball some distance. So, yeah, that was impressive.
I had actually gone out and was actually playing a couple holes with the members at Eagle Ridge Golf Club, where I am the general manager, as you know. But I was actually out there, and it came through my tweet that on Twitter that Bryson just hit it on the 15th hole, 300 yards with a driving iron. I was like, excuse me?
Must be the extra protein shakes, but it was amazing. We'll keep going a little bit more in depth with you guys as the listeners here in a little bit on that, because I got a couple of other things coming out of the world of DeChambeau and the Mad Scientist up on stock, but I got to give the other tours that were out there playing this week some props. The SAS Championship, Ernie Els gets the job done for the PGA Tour Champions Tour.
All right,
long birdie putt on 18.
Let me jump in there because I have the gray hair in the group, so I can speak Champions Tour. Okay,
so this is your field, is what you're saying?
Yeah, these are my boys. All right, so Ernie Els 2 weeks ago misses a 3-footer to get into the playoff. Ernie Els this week steps up from 40 feet, drains it, and wins the tournament on the 18th hole.
Little difference there, but yeah. I think he's just setting himself up for another 6-putt on the first green at the Masters. You know, coming in November.
What it is? Here's the truth. The truth is, it just goes to show how unusual the golf gods can be. It's a strange and fickle game. You know, kudos to the Big Easy. I mean, he's truly one of the great guys in this sport.
Yeah, definitely a great guy to watch, great guy to emulate. It was tough watching those guys that had to finish in the last group having to play in the rain to try to figure out a way. Montgomery almost did it. He had his chances, but just wasn't able to pull through. And, you know, as they jokingly said on air, I think the Big Easy, after he saw him miss that putt, instantly poured a glass of wine to enjoy himself and went about his championship duties, I guess, after that. So
right.
It was definitely a unique situation for sure.
So looking ahead to this week, I'm going to give you a little stat that you're not even aware of.
Uh-oh.
So this week the senior tour is down at the Dominion Energy in Richmond, Virginia. And they are playing at the Country Club of Virginia at the River Course. Little fact, I attempted earlier in my life to qualify for the U.S. Amateur at the River Course at the Country Club of Virginia. So anyway, you know what? I could vividly remember my round. Well, I can remember before the carnage set in. So first 9 holes, went off the back 9. I shoot 2 over, and I think I hit 2 green. So it was my typical round.
Yeah. You know, Captain Scrape has to figure out a way to get it around somehow. And, you know, that's pretty common from all the stories that you've told us over the years of me growing up. So I'm not surprised. But how's the course down there? Obviously you've played it. So what are we looking like for that? Is it going to be a good test of golf, obviously?
I think it's going to be a great test of golf. First of all, Richmond's got some really good golf courses. The Country Club of Virginia is a phenomenal facility. Jimenez, I stumbled over that one. Jimenez won it last year. He's back to defend again this year. Lightning quick greens. That's the one thing I distinctly remember about that property. Lightning quick greens.
Okay. Well, definitely will be interesting. We'll have to do a little recap for that one. I'm sure that you'll have a couple of little tad bits and memories come after watching that this weekend. But
right.
The last one from this week, and I'm probably going to, just like you did with Jimenez, I'm probably going to butcher this name, but I've got to give some props to the LPGA. They just had their PGA and the KPMG PGA Championship. And Si Young Kim. She is her first ever major title winner this weekend. So big props to her and the LPGA Tour for her getting the job done this week. Absolutely brilliant play. But the one thing that came out of my mind, she had the lowest final round in a major since the Johnny Miller 62. So she played some pretty good golf to get the job done on Sunday to win that. So big props to her and you know, absolutely great playing.
Well, she went on a birdie binge on Friday. I think she had birdied 4 out of her last 5 holes. She was definitely the player that was on top of her game at Aronimink. Itself is an amazing venue. They're back I believe the tour's back there, 2026. I'd have to double check that. But yes, congrats, first major championship, and on a great golf course to do it on.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, we are going to get back into it after our little recap of this past weekend. I kind of mentioned it just a few moments ago with the DeChambeau, and I know this, you being the mad scientist of your own right, the DeChambeau stories, they continue. I mean, the man wins the U.S. Open, shoots six under, does it his way. Absolutely got to give props out to a guy that, you know, does it his way, doesn't have to change his game to what the field is doing. Like, he sets his own accord and walks to his own beat. But they just were talking, and DeChambeau brings it up. 48-inch driver that he's going to try out. He's thinking about bringing it out at Augusta. They asking him how far he's hitting it, and he says he doesn't even want to say because he doesn't want them to try to set up the course to make it difficult for him. You know, he wants to have every advantage he can. So, you know, the question's got to be, number one, obviously it's working, but is he ever going to stop tinkering?
I don't think so. So let's back up. I want to make a point. Let's go back to the U.S. Open, because the news coming out of the Open was, this is insane. He just demoralized. This is, you know, wasn't going to happen at Wingfoot. Nobody's going to go under par, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He just had wedges into these greens because he hit it so far. And then you have to ask the question, you know, back, if you go back in golf history, Nicholas comes along, Bobby Jones says he plays, you know, plays a game I'm unfamiliar with. Tiger comes along. It's a game that we haven't seen. He actually revitalizes the game, or actually I should say it this way. I think we are seeing, as Billy Hurley, when he was on the show about a month or so ago, Billy Hurley made a very interesting point that these younger athletes that are coming out, that's, they're just that, they're athletes. Is Bryson actually the transformation and of the next coming of revitalization of the game? I mean, we talked about Brooks Koepka. I mean, who he himself annihilates the golf. I mean, we stood right behind him on the ninth hole at Shinnecock. I mean, he crushes it.
He pounds it. I mean, it absolutely destroys the ball.
Right.
And this guy's going 20 yards farther than he is.
Correct. So is Bryson just that next level where they're all pushing the gamut to get better, get better, get better, get better? Is that really what's going on here? Now, to answer your question, the 48-inch driver, if it works, God bless. You know, that's the way I look at it. If he can make it work, and I saw a quote that he gave, that he said, look, I'm going to probably hit 2,000 drivers before Augusta with the 48-inch driver to feel like he gets it honed in to a level that he's comfortable with.
Now, not to interrupt, but what's your thoughts and your feelings then? You know, because it sounds like, and I'll let you finish, but it sounds like he's not going to stop tinkering is your kind of outlook on it. But, you know, the question becomes is – and to continue on to it, is length the answer? Is this where we're going? Is 400-yard drives about to be the new norm on tour, because that's the only way to play it, and the hit it and gouge it out method the next thing? Or is it just the fad right now? You know, continuing your answer, obviously, again, didn't want to cut you off, but I think it's going to change.
So here's the thing. These guys are already, and not just DeChambeau, these guys are already, and put it in perspective, folks, they're hitting a golf ball a quarter of a mile. That's insane. Okay, so.
Yeah.
On Twitter the other day, Ian Poulter posed the question about the golf ball. And everybody wants, we got to taper back the golf ball, taper back the golf ball. I'm not a scientist. I'm not certainly the mad scientist in this situation. It is technology. It is It is metals that are lighter weight that they can strike the golf ball with a more aggressive aggressive swing. It is the shafts. The shafts are so far superior. When I used to play professional golf, and we're talking True Temper, you know, X300s or, you know, but graphite was just coming along. I mean, I remember my first custom fit clubs, I was using Brunswick rifle shafts. We've come so far in 20, 30 years, obviously. But I don't think it's the golf ball, Andrew. I just think it's athletes are becoming better.
Well, you know what? And here's my take. My take is pretty on par from what it sounds like with what you're going with, which is if it works for him, you know what? By all means, do it. Because the narrative that you get to watch of all of the non-average golfers getting to have a guy to fully root for. I mean, this guy is going out and he's doing it his way with his protractors in his yardage book and figuring out the slope of everything. And it's absolutely me. I can't do it. And you know what? That's the beauty of it. Like, I get to enjoy watching somebody who is so out of the norm get the job done that it's incredible to watch. And here's the next step. Like you mentioned, they're all athletes. The fact of the matter is, whether Ian Poulter or whoever the case may be that's asking to dial back the ball at any time, if he's still hitting the ball 20, 30 yards longer at this point, when the ball is all being basically used, it's the same person using the ball, right? If they dial the ball back, all that's going to do is just shorten everybody because everybody's going to be in the same standard. So yeah. Is it really going to ever change? I don't think so. And by all means, I think, you know, personally speaking, that the game of golf, as we just even were talking about with Ernie Els, it is such a unique game in the fact that anybody can get the job done in any situation. I think it's not just a fad. I think you're going to see, and you already are seeing it, with Rory chesting it out on in his way, not obviously Bryson's way, but in his way on the course and on the range with his trackman. But then you got the other guys of the world who are the Colin Morikawas. They hit it, and they hit it absolutely down the middle every single time, and they don't miss a fairway, and they hit it to a foot radius on almost every green, and they get it done that way too. And it's two unique things about the game of golf and two totally different games that make it what's incredible to watch. And personally, if someone's going to come out and try to take him down, they're going to have to take out his work ethic, because I don't think this guy's ever going to stop going to the gym. I don't think he's ever going to stop figuring out a way, because he's just that mechanically and scientifically backed that he's just going to do it his way until he finds a new way to beat the system almost. And that's what everybody does. They all try to find any little tweak to give them an edge. And by all means, God bless him. He figured it out, and he's put in the work, and it's working for him. So good for him.
So I have 2 points. Point number one is, and by no means am I going to anoint Bryson after one major as the next coming of Tiger Woods. But Tiger Woods did it his way. In 1997, he came on tour. He did it his way. There's famously a story about how he was walking down the stairwell at Augusta and walked right past his mom and Phil Knight and didn't even recognize him and turned around and said, "Oh, hi, Mom." Because he was so laser focused, he did it his way. Bryson's doing it his way. And if Bryson, look, the other old adage, not to sound silly, but the other old adage, drive for show, putt for dough, you know, here's the question. If it was all about how far he's bombing it, why didn't he win that at the Shriners?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a level of every aspect of his game has got to be on. I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'm sure if you go back and take a look at the U.S. Open, you're going to find that Bryson throughout the week was near the top of the leaderboard in every single category. That's just how it is in most tournaments.
Well, he actually did set a record for the least number of fairways hit and be a major champion. But in that
you hit it when you hit it 400 yards, though, you don't need to hit the fairway because you're hitting a wedge. So
yeah, so he's gouging a wedge onto those greens at Wingfoot, and you know it's gonna be a debate. It's gonna be interesting. It's also gonna be interesting to see how can his body hold up over time?
That's the ultimate question. Yeah, I think that, you know, having that level of swing. I mean, you go back to Tiger. Tiger did it his way, did it every single way, aggressive, swung so freaking hard that you felt like he should fall over. And growing up, that's what I watched and that's what I tried to emulate. And then you realize that his back just couldn't hold up. Is Bryson, though, I beg the question, with more modern ways of training and more modern ways of keeping healthy, is it going to help him last longer? I think so. Even from, you know, when Tiger went on tour and really went at it, like the game, as you mentioned, the game has changed. So it'll be interesting to see for sure. I definitely think that it's something that it will be fun to watch. I'm excited to see, you know, what does he do on some of these holes at the Masters when it comes. I mean, 13 speaks volumes. Does he hit his 300-yard driving iron around the corner until he's 100 yards out, or does he just tee the ball up like he does so high that he just goes over the trees and aims right at the green? Like, nobody's really going to know what they're looking at until they see it. So, well, it'll be interesting.
It'll even be more so. I mean, think about that back nine at Augusta. You know, actually, let me come back to this. One last comment regarding Tiger, which is, You would pose the question, is, you know, the bombers, is it, you know, hit it as far as you can and gouge it out? Is that the future? I actually think it is for the most part. Most people are going to try to emulate that on tour because length is how they're going to be able to compete. You're going to continue to have these great championship venues that are no longer going to be able to be used simply because they're not long enough for these guys. Mm-hmm. And Tiger is the last, probably, of the great shop shapers. I mean, the way he works the ball around the golf course is amazing. Now back to Augusta. Can you imagine Bryson standing on 15 on Sunday afternoon, and he drills it 425 yards down the hill on the par five, and only has a flip wedge? I mean,
yeah, he hits the hill, the famous hill on 15, and it rolls almost to the water because it just picks up speed. I mean, it's insane to think about. And I'm thinking of some other holes too. I mean, you got what, 17? That's a pretty good straightaway. But in reality, with how long these guys are hitting it now, they're not having the same irons into the greens. Like, he's going to have flip wedge in. You know, the drive, we're talking back nine, but think about the front nine, the drivable par four that was already drivable. The man's going to hit an iron off the tee most likely because he can. Like, that's just that's insane to think about because nobody else can do it other than the big bombers. And so, yeah, they have an advantage, but I still think that, you know, the beauty of the game is that anybody can get it done if they do it their way and do it well enough. Like, Morikawa is a prime example of that. Bryson is a prime example of that. The Open, you know, I think the Masters will be great to watch. I know that we didn't get to see the British this year, but I'm going to be interested to see how they handle that, you know, over there, because you got wins that are
the Open Championship is actually one spot where, you know, that's about strategy. I mean, they're hitting it long anyway, because 9 times out of 10, the golf course in July is usually dried out. So they're hitting an unusual distance. It's all about hitting it strategically with the pot bunkers, because one bad kick to the right or left, and suddenly you're making X. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
You know, the American game is totally different. It's going to be interesting. You know, you roll back the clock 20 years, the guys down in Augusta tried to Tiger-proof the Masters when he was changing the game. Are we going to see that in the spring of 2021? Because let's face it, the next two majors are actually in Augusta. So
do you think they try to do something then in the fall, since the course is going to play so different they've been talking about? Or do you think we only have to really worry about them really trying to change it after they get to see what Bryson and those types of guys do in the fall? They try to change it for the spring to make it a little bit different for them.
Well, I think the golf course is going to play completely different, obviously, fall versus spring. But you know, they have the system, they have the systems under the greens to be able to dry out the greens, make the greens. It's still going to look like Augusta. It's still going to play like Augusta. And as they've said for years, like, you know, the famous saying that we could make the greens so fast it'd have to issue ice skates. So, I mean, it's going to be a fun Masters to watch without question.
Yeah. Well, we will, we'll cut right there. Let's go to, segment kind of, I guess issue would say number three here. Which is just that the Augusta green to non-green in matter of a week. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Not sure if you saw those photos, but,
I did.
From straight up brown as a tan wallet to green like you're used to seeing it in the springtime leading up to no other than the Augusta Major. And begs the question, how amazing of a view is it going to be? Are we going to see the fall, get to see fall colors? You know, what's your thoughts on these photos different? I mean, it's a week apart and I'm absolutely blown away. I thought, what is going on? We're going to have a brown Masters. And then a week later resurfaces some other photos and we got green grass that's greener than dollar bills in our wallets. So what's your thoughts on that?
Again, they have the subarctic air systems in all throughout that golf course. So they look, it's a venue that is like no other, as they like to say. So I anticipate it's going to be fun to see a fall Masters. It really will.
Good. Well, here's something else. No, we're kind of jumping a little bit around, but just because, again, we're going off of some of the things that are happening in today's golf world. Had you been able to see the betting lines for the upcoming CGA Cup? It's moved to Shadow Creek, home of the world-famous Match.
The Match.
Yeah, so CJ Cup, home of at Shadow Creek, home of the Match. Big storylines there is Brooks' first start since the withdrawal of his knee injury. All top five official world golf ranking players will be playing this week.
Right.
And the betting odds coming out of it this week, which I found on CBS, is DJ at 10-1, JT at 12-1. Rahm at 11-1, and then McIlroy and Xander Schauffele at 14-1. So you have all top five official world golf rankers in the field. What's your thoughts on this week? What's your picks? Let's hear it.
Well, I'll tell you what, and this is just an overall blanket statement. I am a huge JT fan, and we actually never even really talked about this. I believe that JT is got a phenomenal golf swing, and he's the guy I'm going with this week.
Okay. Well, I got some, again, I know we talk stats a lot, but I got some stats on this because, as you know, I am a JT fan as well. Absolutely incredible. We talked about Shinnecock and watching Brooks Koepka on 9, but the range session, we got to watch JT just hit missiles after missile with his irons, you know, trying to emulate that game as to the best that I can, which is not the even close to him, but we'll at least keep trying. JT is the two-time winner of this event.
He's got
a great short game. He's got a great putting. We hear all the time, and I heard a lot this year, that he, in fact, is even talking with Tiger on some off weeks and throughout the season about how to make his short game better because he wants to be a complete player. He doesn't want to be the bomber. And quite frankly, you know what? I think that that he doesn't honestly get enough credit. I think he's always a favorite and always up there, but I really don't think he ever gets the credit that he deserves because he hits the ball almost as far as DJ and some of these guys. And he's pound for pound, probably one of the best out there. And I got to go with JT. I think, you know, everything about his game is looking good from what I was able to see. And also getting to see him at Payne's Valley with the other Match. It wasn't the world famous Match, but I mean, he looked solid and I'm going to be glad to see him him getting it out there.
Absolutely. So the other, if I could pick 1B, so JT is my pick. I think we're both in agreement on that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's going to be interesting to see Brooks, but 1B is, I think DJ is going to bounce back. You know, he had a phenomenal performance. He fell off a little bit. I think DJ is going to play well this week.
Okay. Well, I have a dark horse as well, or a 1B, however you'd like to call it. And that's going to be no other than Ricky Fowler. Yes, Ricky Fowler. I saw it. I'm going with it. Put a new putter in the bag, which even makes it even more of a dark horse pick. But he went with my love and putters, Scotty Cameron. So I have to give him some props. And you know what? With the fall around us, he wears orange. Maybe there's something going on there. I don't know. It's Halloween. I'm just piecing everything together at this point.
Come on, Andrew. That's a reach, buddy.
I mean, yeah, but that's why he's a dark horse. So, you know, we'll see if Ricky can't get it done.
Hey, watch this little plug here. If you're going to put a putter in the bag, you need to do a pyramid putter, Golf Talk Live product of the month, by the way, and a phenomenal putter to use. So check that out on our website, golftalklive.net.
Well, that'll definitely be looked at, because my putting game is by far the worst aspect of my game. So definitely got to check those out. But other than that, folks, thanks for stopping by the 19th hole. First ever 19th hole here with Golf Talk Live on Tuesday evening. We're recording. So make sure to stop by, follow us, subscribe, and rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And we'll see you next time.
And always check out our Instagram, Golf Talk Live.
All righty. You guys have a good one and good night.